This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into First Take. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, and now welcoming in Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who is in Tampa Bay. How you doing this morning, Jeff? How things over there?
I'm doing good. I'm not at the stadium yet, about to head over there, but the weather is not going to be a problem for the Saints. It's going to be a little different than their last road game outside. It's going to be a beautiful. I don't even know what the temperature is, but it's not going to be cold. It might be hot more than anything else, so I can't complain about this.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the projections right now for kickoff. It's going to be around 65, 70 degrees, and no chance of rain, which is always nice, too, so you don't have to deal with dealing any slop over there, although Raymond James Stadium ends up draining nicely. They got a good setup there, but thankfully you won't be standing out in any rain for this matchup.
No, and Raymond James Stadium has kind of been a very friendly, confines for this Saints team over the last several years. If you kind of look at this series in particular, the road team seems to always win. But, going back to 2019, the Saints are actually 5-1 in Raymond James Stadium, and they've outscored the Bucs by about, I want to say it's like 149-63 in those 6 games. I was looking this up yesterday. It's actually been the entire state of Florida that's been very kind to the Saints. Because if you go back and you look at, 2021, they played the Packers in Jacksonville. That was a Packers team that went to the NFC Championship. It was after the Saints got displaced due to Ida. So, that game was 38-3. Go back to 2019, they beat the Jaguars 13-6. And the amazing thing is, so that's 7-1, and it doesn't seem to matter who starts games at quarterback, right? The only loss was Andy Dalton. And that was a game you led 16-3 in the fourth quarter with about 4 minutes to go. So even the game you lost of those 8 games, you kind of dominated it. You've had games started by Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, obviously Drew Brees 3 times, and Derek Carr last year. And there will be another quarterback on that list. So if you can continue that run with Spencer Rattler, I'm going to start to think it's about more than just a coincidence that the Saints should try to play more games in the state of Florida, but we'll have to wait and see.
Spencer Rattler getting the start today. We know Derek Carr won't be suiting up, still dealing with that injured, non-throwing hand. What are you hoping to see from Spencer in this finale? I know it's been a little bit of up and down for him, a lot of down, unfortunately, for the rookie, but what can you expect from a fifth-round pick that's just, getting acclimated to life in the NFL? But what are some of the things that you feel like Spencer needs to do a better job of going into this finale here?
Yeah, it's an interesting bookend because, this is the same Bucs team that he made his NFL debut against way back in week 6. And that game seemed to be going really well at halftime. The Saints were ahead 27-24. They scored 27 points in the second quarter. At halftime, they were ahead by 3. And then they got outscored 27-0 the rest of the game. Spencer threw a bad interception on a drive where they could have maybe taken control. And you kind of started to see some of the rookie warts developing in that game in the next 2. When I look back at the game last week against the Raiders, the scoreline says 25-10. The second half, you got shut out. It wasn't pretty. But I did think I saw Spencer take some clear steps forward in terms of, hey, I need a rookie quarterback to come out playing well. I need a young quarterback to start games well, not just come out in relief and look good. And I thought he did that. That first half was probably his best half of the season. He was decisive. He made plays with his legs when he needed to. He got the ball where it needed to go. He was 11-13 in the first half, and the 2 incompletions were a drop and a throwaway. So You know, you just need to, and Spencer talked about that this week, you have to put a complete game together. You can't just have quarters here, halves here. You need a full performance start to finish. And that's not just on Spencer. I think when you look back at that second half, you had a ton of penalties. You know, both interceptions he threw came immediately, like the play after a big gain that got wiped out away by a penalty. And that's going to be anytime you look at a rookie quarterback and, you know, you see a guy making plays and then they get turned away and you're like, okay, do it again. That's a tough scenario. And I don't think he handled it well. So I don't know. You just kind of want to see him continue to take steps forward. I've heard a lot of people say, hey, I don't want the Saints to win today because then it would help the Falcons get into the playoffs. I disagree with that. I think, you know, when you're talking about a young quarterback who hasn't won a game yet and you're kind of trying to feel out what he has, winning a game to close out the season, to go into the offseason with confidence, I think that's more valuable than anything. And ending this season with some positivity would be nice. And also, you know, the Bucs are something of a rival, too. I think embarrassing them in front of their home fans and keeping them out of the playoffs when they had everything in front of them, I think there's some value in that, too. I'd rather be the team that does it than the team that kind of just, like, all right, do what you got to do, you know? So either way, I think you're going to see a better performance out of Spencer today in terms of if you look back at that Week 6 game versus now. I think he has taken some clear steps forward. He's more confident getting in and out of the huddle. He talked about that this week a little bit, just kind of looking people in the eye and being a rookie, but also being that leader. It's not an easy transition to make when, you know, you're coming into the NFL. But I do think you're going to see a better performance out of him today. I just don't know if it's going to be enough.
No Derek Carr today, Jeff. Also no Kendra Miller. And you posted this on your X or Twitter or whatever. Kendra Miller's first two seasons, 14 games played, 80 carries, 304 yards, 3.8 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 15 catches, 150 yards, 20 games missed with 2 IR trips. And you also split it up as well. The knee injuries cost him 2 games, ankle sprain 7 games, hamstring 6 games, another hamstring 4 games, and the concussion now, well, it's going to be 2 games after today. So, Kendra Miller, you know, Mike and I, as I mentioned with Steven the first segment here, we always talk about building through the strength of a draft. And, you know, they did that last year by getting Taliese Fuaga. It was a great offensive tackle draft. They went and got themselves one. This upcoming draft is really running back heavy. Now, I'm not advocating to take a running back with your top 10 pick that you'll probably end up with, but at the same time, I think running back entering the offseason is going to be a need.
Yeah, and I mean, the guy you're going to rely on next year is Alvin Kamara, and he's, you know, they did re-sign him, they extended him, so you are committed to him beyond this year, but you still have to plan for after Alvin, however long his career does go. He's still playing at a high enough level that I'm not necessarily concerned about the immediate future, but again, you're talking about a 30-year-old running back. What's behind him? And I'd love to be able to say Kendra Miller has shown something that I can go into this offseason feeling like, that's my guy. He just simply has it, and it's not about ability. It's about staying on the field. And I, you know, it's tough because you don't want to get on a guy for getting a concussion. He has no control over that. I'm sure if you left it up to him, he would have gone back in the game. The NFL doesn't allow you to do that. So it's tough because it's not, you know, when you get annoyed with a player, when a coach is getting annoyed with a player, it's going to be because, hey, you got hurt and we didn't feel like you were necessarily doing the work. You weren't prepared or whatever. That's not the case here. This is just bad luck. But you put it on top of that list of all the injuries and all the games missed. You're 14 games played, 20 games missed. You know, that's just not a pretty picture. And, you know, it's hard to see that changing, or at least you can't bet on it changing. So, yeah, I mean, you're going into this offseason and you're going to have serious questions. I would imagine Kendra is at training camp next year. I don't think they're just going to outright cut him. I don't see how that would benefit you.
No, there's no reason to. You know, but like, to your
point, I mean, a third-round pick.
Right.
Competing for a roster spot is probably what you're going to see. Yeah. And that's why if you have Clyde out there today and Clyde looks good and Clyde looks like a guy that you want to bring back, I think that's a guy that you seriously consider in that spot too. He's 25 years old. You know, he has a lot left to give at the NFL level, and I'm sure he's, you know, motivated to make things work here in his home state. So, no, Kendra, it's frustrating. And, you know, he's still got a lot of his career left. He could still turn things around. But definitely, you know, the season ends today, and it's a massive disappointment to not – see more out of him.
You know, talking about with Kendra Miller, doesn't look like we're going to see Alvin Kamara in the finale either as he deals with that groin issue. So could there be a heavy dose of good old Clyde Edwards-Helaire just showing up a couple week ago for this black and gold bunch getting most of the carries here today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did not rule Alvin Kamara out yesterday. I haven't seen any updates on him to change that. So as of right now, he could still play. You know, when he was ruled as doubtful going into the weekend, Darren Rizzi said they were going to put him through some like game-like work, game-like situations to see how well he could function, whether he could get out there. And if that didn't go well to the point that they weren't going to play him, they would have ruled him out yesterday. So I would imagine he ends up being a game-time decision, and we'll find out more. I'd still be surprised if he plays. You know, but he has been working to get back. He wants to play, so we'll have to see either way. Now, I mean, I don't think you're going to overload him, even if he's out there. So you're going to have to get some good reps from somebody. And, you know, with all due respect to Jamal Williams, I'm actually a lot more interested to see what Clyde has in this format, in this setting, in a game that does not impact the playoff race, at least for you. And he's a guy that I go into the offseason saying, hey, I've seen a lot of the Jamal. I don't necessarily need to feature him. I'd like to feature Clyde. And the question is, how much does he understand the offense, the protections, the checks? Both Clint Kubiak and Darren Rizzi kind of applauded the professionalism and how quickly he has picked up some of that stuff. There's no way he's fully in the playbook. There's no way he understands it necessarily back to front with this little time on task. But I do think that his workload this week is going to be a little bit more expansive than last week. Last week, you kind of saw him in on kind of a set menu, like a small package of plays that he, you know, his assignment was simple. He could just execute that and go on. I think this week you're probably going to open that up a little bit. My question is going to be, okay, third down work, 2-minute drill, stuff that you kind of have to just go, 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 go. Mistakes in those situations can be very costly. And I would be a little surprised if he's ready for those situations yet. So if Alvin doesn't get out there, I think that's probably where you'd see Jamal and maybe Clyde would be on the early down work. But again, you know, there's not a lot that you're going to take out of this game for this season. I think a lot of it is evaluations for next season. And again, if you can go into the offseason and say, hey, maybe Clyde is a name in this room, is a factor, a 25-year-old running back who is first-round pick potential. We've all seen how talented he is. You know, I don't see why you wouldn't really kick the tires hard on that one.
So let's talk about the Bucs real quick, Jeff. I mean, they had a weird stretch. It's been a tale of two seasons in a sense with them, which is kind of funny because it mirrors the tale of two halves from the first time these two teams played. They had that 4-game losing skid where they lose to the Ravens, the Falcons, the Chiefs in overtime, and then the 49ers. And things are starting to crumble a little bit, but their schedule lightened up and they really took, I mean, the most advantage of it that you can possibly take, really, in all honesty. They've won 5 of their last 6. They took down the Giants, the Panthers twice. They also beat the Raiders. But this is the one game that really stood out to me, and it's why I think that the Buccaneers fans have some hope entering the postseason if they're to win this game and wrap up the NFC South title for the fourth time. They put up 40 on the Chargers. The Chargers have one of the best defenses in the NFL. We know that. We saw them firsthand when, you know, they took down the Saints and Spencer Rattler couldn't really get anything going in that game. 40 points on that defense was super impressive. And now they're feeling confident, once again, having won 5 of 6. You play who's in front of you, and they've beaten all the teams that they really should, outside of maybe the Cowboys. They lost that game, obviously. But this is a Bucs team that's playing with confidence. They're playing with something to play for. And I think that's why the odd makers have the Saints as basically 2-touchdown underdogs.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucs are kind of a fascinating team because they seem like a team that can, A, beat anybody, and B, lose to anybody. Yeah, it's strange. It really is. And like they beat the Lions on the road this season, a team that has if they win tonight, it's going to be the number one seed in the NFC. And this was before the Lions' defense was kind of in shambles. This was at their strength in terms of roster. So no, it's a really fascinating Bucs team. It's hard to put your finger on, you know, why they're not a 12-13 win team. They're easily the best team in the NFC South. I've watched enough Falcons games. I've watched enough Bucs games. You know, from a talent perspective, they have it, at least on offense. On defense, in terms of the players they're going to roll out there right now, I mean, they're dinged up. There's no Jamel Dean. Antoine Winfield's not out there. Jordan Whitehead, I believe, got in a car accident, so he's not going to be out there. So, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's going to be an opportunity for the Saints, at least, you know, in the secondary to attack it a little bit. But that's obviously, the wide receiver position isn't exactly a strength of the Saints either. But no, the Bucs is, you know, they're on the verge of winning a 4th consecutive NFC South title. And you look at how they have done it compared to the last team that won 4 NFC South titles in a row, which was the Saints. I mean, the Saints during that stretch They won double-digit wins. They had double-digit wins all four times. They won 49 games, which is tied for the most in the NFL over that span. When you look at the Bucs, you know, there's a 17-game schedule worked in here. They're 40-28, I believe, in that stretch. So, you know, it's kind of been winning the NFC South on easy mode. But, hey, you got to go win it. You know, someone's got to win it, and no one's going to look back at the end and be like, ah, well, you didn't win as many games as the Saints. They're going to look back and say you won four consecutive NFC South titles. And doing that with 8 wins, 9 wins, and 10 wins, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, I do think this Bucs team long-term is going to be interesting to watch. You know, is Baker Mayfield going to be there for an extended period of time? Does he end up becoming kind of a freelancer after this season? I don't know. You know, you have some interesting names in terms of like Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, guys that were quit on in one location and ended up finding success somewhere else. But I think a lot's going to be determined on whether they win this game today, right? Like if you're the Bucs and you win this game and you have a 10-win season and you go to the playoffs, you host the playoff game for the second year in a row, it'll feel a lot different than, hey, you had everything in front of you and you blew it in your building to the Saints. And you could say that's not going to happen, but we watched them do the same thing last year. They had everything in front of them in week 17 at Raymond James Stadium last year against the Saints team that was basically out of it. They had a shot at it, but, you know, they were kind of on the elimination track, and we saw that ultimately play out. And the Saints dominated them. It was a 23-13 win that didn't feel that close. So, you know, I think this game is very important for how the Bucs kind of view this season, how they view Todd Bowles, who, you know, is right around 500 as a head coach since taking over. And that includes a season where he went 8-9 with Tom Brady. So, no, I think that all the pressure's on Tampa today, because if they don't deliver, it's not going to look very pretty for them going into the offseason.
Jeff, I know you asked Coach Darren Rizzi about, you know, maybe some increased role for a guy like Isaiah Foskey in this season finale to get a better gauge of what you have out of him since he hasn't seen much action this season. But for you, besides Foskey, is there anyone else on this roster you're hoping gets a little more play today?
Yeah, you know, I've been kind of a little trying to speak that into existence this week because I think you really do need to see what you have in Isaiah, at least from the perspective of, I want some tape to evaluate. You know, I want some live game tape. And, you know, I asked Joe Woods about it. I asked Darren Rizzi about it. And they both kind of said the same thing, which is it's accurate in that it's not really about how he's playing. It's about the fact that you have four or five guys in front of him that, you know, you're going to get reps to. Like, he's not going to beat out Chase Young. He's not going to beat out Carl Grandis. He's not going to beat out Cam Jordan. Peyton Turner, you could say he should be playing to see what we have in Isaiah. But the same thing is true of Peyton. He's a first-round pick who has been healthy. You want to reward him for that. Tano Pasanio, a guy who started the season on the pup list with a torn Achilles, he's back now. So it is a tough situation to try to get all these guys reps. But all that said, I think you have to. I think you have to try. He did accurately point out that there was a stretch where Isaiah was playing only special team steps, and he has been a core special teams contributor this season. I know a lot of folks will just roll their eyes and like second round pick, and even more than that, but that, you know, a guy like Darren Rizzi is not going to overlook that. And for good reason, it is important. I think he's second on the team in special teams tackles. But he has been working in more of the rotation. He has gotten defensive snaps each of the last 4 weeks. Over the last 2 weeks, he's averaged 10 snaps a week, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider this is a guy who was out of the rotation entirely, you know, that's significant. So I don't know. The coaches are adamant that he's continuing to improve, that, you know, he's doing the work and they see it in practice. I don't know. I'd like to see it in a game. And in a game where you're not fighting for the playoffs, you're fighting for evaluations and pride. I don't know. I think it shouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that he gets 30, 40 snaps in this game. Peyton Turner is going into it with an ankle injury. He's questionable. We'll see if they roll him out there. If they don't, that'll be an opportunity to kind of funnel some of those snaps that he would have gotten in the game plan. But no, I mean, this is my second round pick from last year, right? This isn't just a dude. This is a guy that, you know, you brought in because you expected him to be a player on your defense. And to this point, I'd like to be able to sit here and say he's not playing because he doesn't have the talent to play. And maybe that's true. Like, but until you see it, I don't know how you make that assessment. So now I think this is a perfect opportunity to get him some reps, some more involvement in the regular defense. And we'll see how they do.
Definitely appreciate your time, Jeff. Have a good one before heading over to Raymond James Stadium there. And try not to get too shell-shocked today from that pirate ship.
Yeah, that's the thing. I got to work. Every time the Bucks score, if that thing goes off a lot, it'll be a bad day. But we'll find out. I'm putting some sunscreen on as we speak.
Appreciate you, Jeff. Have a good one, man.
All right, y'all. Thank you.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, joining us there from Tampa Bay as the Saints get ready to take on the Buccaneers. That's a noon kickoff coming up on WWL Saints Radio, the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with the Cajun Cannon ahead at 10 a.m.